Dr. Nielsen, can you lead us in the invocation and pledge?
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us safely together this evening. We are so grateful for all that you have provided us, and we ask for your guidance and direction as we proceed in this meeting. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sprowdy, do we have any public comment?
Not.
Having no public comment to the board, we can move to the next agenda item, and the next agenda item is Dr. Probstfeld's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Much of this you've already heard, but it's official. This was one of the most unique sessions that we've been through with the legislature, with an unprecedented 365 bills being filed. The last of the remaining bills were given to the governor yesterday to sign. So this is kind of coming in at the 11th hour, and the bills were being modified right up until the very last minute of session. So there was a whole lot of work trying to monitor everything that was going on and make sense of everything that was happening. As you know, we received $3.7 million in recurring funding. We were hoping for more, but we'll keep working on that one. This isn't some marathon, it's not a sprint. So we're going to keep looking at that going forward. But we were happy with that, and it allowed us to do some of the things we needed to do to get our compensation at a level where we can be competitive again, and to fund some of the ongoing programs that we have that we haven't been able to fund with tuition increases in the last 13 years. We did finally, the governor signed off on everything, so our $9 million for Parrish is official. So within the next year, we'll be doing the design work for the less than romantic, but all of the infrastructure work that has to be done before we actually can put a building out there. So we're excited about that. I reached out to our two delegation members who helped us, Senator Boyd and Representative Gregory, and immediately Representative Gregory got back to me and said, I'm in for next year. You don't have to ask. Just send me the paperwork. We're good to go. They're thrilled that we actually have some momentum. So that's great. And we received again a substantial share, once again, punching above our weight class with $1.86 million in non-recurring performance money for our nursing program. So the nursing program continues to perform. We hope they will continue this performance funding model for nursing going forward, because it does help us sustain the expansion of our program. So we're very thrilled with the work that they do, and they continue to just be outstanding. Higher education alone was about 100 of those bills, and again, unprecedented number in 1 year, with bills touching just about every part of our operations. We're still trying to go through everything, sort out and understand what all the impacts are going to be, along with the Department of Education and all our colleague institutions. Many of these bills take effect July 1st, but we have received yet no guidance from the Department of Education, nor how we would implement these things from them. So we all know that we're sort of in this together, and it's going to take a little while to really digest all. But just some of the highlights are Senate Bill 240 sets aside $102 million for capital projects for technical colleges and state colleges to support our workforce programs. So we're looking to make some submissions to that. For example, remodeling of Building 18, which is where we house a lot of our workforce programs, potentially some additional classrooms we'll need because our coding academy is expanding and growing by leaps and bounds. So we have a couple of ideas. Also, potentially some expansion we want to do in the nursing department in Lakewood Ranch to support the growth in that program. So we're going to submit those when we find out what the rules and regulations are, and we'll see what we can get to help support those. That bill also permitted the technical colleges to offer AAS and AS degrees, and something that we've been in opposition to for many years, but they will have an approval process they have to go through, very similar to what we have to do when we want to start a baccalaureate program. So they will have to come to us and seek our support for any AS program that they would want to, or AAS program they would want to offer. We do have Gary Baker, who's one of our folks here at the college, who's on the committee, the statewide committee, to look at what that approval process would be, both for us to achieve, to get baccalaureate approval, and for them to get approval from us. So at least we'll have a voice at the table when those rules are put in place. Senate Bill 266, was the bill that doesn't allow us, prohibits us from expending any funds regardless of source on any diversity, equity, inclusion, or critical race theory programs. So that's really not something that we have ever been heavily involved with, and so we're in good shape with that one. Senate Bill 258 was the bill that disallows public employers like us for downloading, utilizing, or any prohibitive applications, think TikTok, on any state-owned equipment. And Senate Bill 256, which prohibits us from collecting union dues. So that's something that our campus faculty union knew was coming, and so they've made the appropriate arrangements, but effective July 1st, we can't collect those dues for them anymore. A bill that didn't pass that we were hoping would was House Bill 7051, Senate Bill 750. And this was the bill that specifically would have allowed us, the state colleges, to create specialized associates in arts degrees. Why this is important is we do have a couple of programs where students can't seamlessly transfer as juniors when they go to the universities. And that is specifically in the area of music and in the area of the sciences. And so if we could create these specialized programs, we could deviate from the standard AA format, which is largely general education, and offer some of those other courses so they could transfer in as juniors. So we're hoping that we can bring that back next year and see it get to the finish line. So those were the bills that we were tracking, the big ones. There's a lot of other ones that are out there that we're sorting, but those are the ones where we think we're going to have this biggest impact and that we've been watching closely. That is the legislative summary. Now I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Nielsen to give us the mission moment and our outreach update.
So a couple things. One of the myths we were talking about early on is oftentimes we get the question of, so you have off in the summer. No, we are very busy in the summer. So we want to share with all of you some of the things that we've been working on and some of the new initiatives that I've talked about previous. So I'll go through a few of these. We had our open house events, which is something that occurs on an annual basis. The highlight for us is that we have the highest attendance in the past 6 years. This is really, really good, and we're seeing that reflected in our applications and our enrollment. So a breakdown, this did occur at the Venice campus. We had 275 attendees. The other piece is that we had the most departments represented in the past 6 years. We had 35 departments that came out to set up tables, to work with students. So it really was a one-stop shop for all of our families, our students, not only to talk about college, but financial literacy, financial aid, Covian Academy, collegiate school, individual departments. So it was a great opportunity to kick this off for the summer. And that was early June that we had our open house events. Orientations continue all summer long at the Bradenton campus. We have orientations in person. We also offer a virtual online option for orientations as well. So it's flexible. It's easy for our students to go through. We often have about 50 that will attend the Bradenton orientations and about 35 at the Venice campus. We've also done specialized orientations that I will briefly mention in a little bit, but you can also see that with RSVPs, this will constantly change over the summer as we continue to still accept and process our applications for the fall. Summer collaborations, a lot of things happening still with tours. You can see we have middle school tours still happening. This is huge. It's one of our goals, is to really impact our middle school students. We've partnered with Take Stock in Children to provide the students that are coming to State College of Florida specialized orientations. So it is a seamless handoff of all the resources they've had with TakeStock and all the resources they have here now as an SCF student. That was something that TakeStock has been looking for us to do. So we partnered and did two orientations with their students, and we did it together collaboratively with them, which again, it's a great opportunity for them to see partnership across two amazing resources. Another big one is Sarasota County Life Readiness Program Manager reached out to us. We now have our SCF materials in all of the middle schools. This is common for the high schools. That's when you do college exploration, you get ready for next steps within your 4 years. But we've partnered with their current program manager to see how we can offer these resources even sooner, right? And that's part of our goal. Our freshman transition program is an opportunity we pay for a summer course to jumpstart students in hopes that we have less of the summer melt when it comes to enrolling in the fall. So we had 75 students take us up on that opportunity. Again, they're provided one summer course and they get their feet wet, they build up some confidence, and then they seamlessly transition into their fall enrollment. So again, it's 75 more students that we are able to work with before they dive into a full semester. With our outreach program, Dr. Bell is in the back. We had our Brother to Brother Alliance. They have their men's breakfast and reached out to us. Again, looking at how we can partner, how we can focus our strategies around males coming to school. So it was a great opportunity to be present, to hear some of the gaps, the barriers, some of the concerns that are happening. So Dr. Bell, thank you for going to that. And we appreciated that was part of expanding our boundaries group that reached out to us and asked. But they reached out to us to ask to be a part of that and to be at the table with those conversations. So we really appreciated that. With Manatee Technical College, we were invited to come to their graduation and have a table. That's important because they can now come over to State College of Florida. They can look at different degree opportunities. And again, it shows the collaboration and the partnership to say, you've done great, let's continue that and look and see what you have available in your backyard. And then we have Mavericks brunch and backpacks coming up at the end. This is a little different. Before, we used to go to UTC. We were one of the lead sponsors at UTC at the end of July, and we'd hand out SCF backpacks. We've now moved away from sponsoring an event at UTC, and we're bringing it to campus. It's an opportunity where they will go into our food service, have brunch provided, their families, and we're also looking at other additional resources that we can bring in to have those families come and be a part of it. So things along dental hygiene, maybe eye exams. So we're working out the details with that, but we're really excited to have that here. Yes.
Is there anything on the table or planned or attempted with Sarasota Technical Institute or whatever it's called this year?
Always open. We always. that's a big piece that we're trying to work with the technical schools to see how we can partner and continue that education. Manatee has been really eager and often invites us. So yes, always. Summer camps and opportunities. We are busting and booming with opportunities to be engaged. Music, this is new. We have our jazz workshop. These will take place July 5th, I believe, is the jazz workshop. And then our music production workshop is July 10th. A wonderful opportunity to enhance the degrees that we offer at the State College of Florida and to get them in and working with our faculty over the summer months. With athletics, we are offering two summer camps. One is going to be 13 and under, it's a skills camp, and then one is 14 and older, and that'll be for recruitment purposes. All of these two, we have kids STEM, coding, robotics, and then with 26 West, they have created the personal branding lab in partnership with CareerSource. It's called the Power of You Job Skills Training. So many opportunities from little all the way up through high school and into college to stay engaged with us over the summer. All of these, again, tie back to admissions, recruitment, retention. Do we include a tour of the campus? Give them admissions materials, give a brief presentation. So all of these we constantly turn back to how can we keep and retain you and your family long term. Brand new MOU was just signed yesterday. Thank you, Dr. Fritsch. It's our Stop Out initiative. This was stemmed from LEAP Tampa Bay, which is the college resource area. We have collaborated with Reach Manatee and Planet Sarasota in a collaborative effort that we will have a success coach, someone who is funded through our community partners, who will reach out to students who started at State College of Florida and for some reason didn't continue. This goes back 5 years. So they may have come for one semester. We're going to give the list to our partner and they are going to do all the outreach for us. This also includes students in the past 2 years who've applied to the State College of Florida and never enrolled. So again, this is going to be a major enrollment initiative. LEAP Tampa Bay has saw phenomenal results from this outreach. They've collaborated, I think it was St. Pete, HCC, and USF. So that one advisor did outreach and helped those students get back into either the one they stopped out at or an alternative one. And that's what we're going to be doing. So we provide the student information. We partner as if that coach is one of us, calling from State College of Florida, outreaching, and then connecting them back to either applying or re-enrolling. So we are really, really excited about this opportunity. And then last, engagement with enrollment. We have two new opportunities for our students. The first one is Find Yours, SCF Student Engagement. So on July 12th and July 13th, this event is really for students who applied, they've been admitted, and maybe in May, they enrolled in classes. And they may not be coming until August. This is their engagement opportunity to say, great, you've done all your business, you've checked all your boxes, you're signed up for classes, we're super excited. Now this is the time to come back. And let's see how you're going to be an engaged student on campus. Are you looking for a work study job? Look at, here's all the jobs. We can already start your application and you can be ready to work part time. Are you interested in clubs and organizations? Are you interested in music? What other things can we help engage you in your college experience? The other piece with that is a series we started 2 years ago called hashtag get hired. It's a series of personal branding interviews and a job fair. So we want to get that on their radar right away. And then Manatee Late Nights, I talked to you about this early on. It was an initiative to really look at students that were late applicants. They sit and they wait until post July, and then we have to hurry them through all of their business checks and balances. We created July 25th and August 1st. So those applicants that come in, they're admitted, they can come in the evening, they can work with financial aid, business office, they can get their student ID, they can go through the checks and balances that they need to do, the transactional things, and they don't have to worry about doing it during the daytime. So again, it's a new opportunity to see how we don't rush them through just because they may have made a decision a little bit later than others. So we are excited about that. And then just our general numbers, fall applications are up. We are really excited about that because last year we did a free app February where the entire month of February, our applications were free. We're up and we did not do that type of initiative this year. And then enrollment, some fun facts, over 2000 students have enrolled in classes since graduation. A lot of movement happening. We're really thrilled. our first time in college student enrollment is up right now, 664 compared to 589. We still have a lot of time. And our continuing student enrollment is up as well. And we are just coming into July. So lots of work. I just included some of our marketing pieces so you can understand the connection to some of our events. But it's been busy and we are excited to see where our enrollment's going to take us this fall. Any questions?
And the Planet Reach and the Reach Out one, kind of following on LEAP Tampa Bay. Do you have any numbers? So the number of students that had applied but hadn't enrolled. What's your database that you're looking at there of potentials?
That's what we're pulling right now. So okay. Working, we just got the MOU signed. So we have a few lists of priorities, obviously those that stopped out, for example, spring and have yet to enroll in fall, those are going to be our hot targets because they're more likely to stay with us. And then we'll work in reverse. So then we'll look at those that came in the fall but didn't come in the spring semester. There's also the potential to look at how many credits remain until graduation. We can do a very specific marketing plug to say you're only one semester away from earning your AA. Here's what you could take coming back in. So those customized ones. But now that we have a signed MOU, the database is getting pulled.
Yeah. Exciting.
Very exciting. Okay, thank you.
Good job.
Can you flip it for me?
Thank you so much. All right, so we're going to move on to the next item. Approval of non-financial consent agenda items. Are there any exhibits that I need to pull to have discussion on?
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of questions, basically basic knowledge questions. It's not going to affect my vote. I can ask them now or later. It's up to you. Or I can pull when you want to pull them.
Are they across several exhibits? Well, being that I've run these meetings to be extremely short the last couple months, I'm going to let you ask your questions.
All right. Exhibit D, page 18. Talking about our collegiate school. Mm-hmm. My question is, and probably I should already know this, but as Board of Trustees, what is my relationship with the Manatee County School Board? Who trumps?
You are the board of this collegiate school. Yeah. We have a contract from the school district to be operating the school. Steve, you want to clarify, but I don't believe our board is reports to that board.
Our board does not report to that board other than.
We have complete autonomy over how we run that school.
Other than to maintain compliance with the rules and regulations in the K-12 world that the collegiate school has to abide by. For instance, the collegiate school adopts the district's student code of conduct for the kids at the collegiate school. So it's our responsibility to make sure that we maintain compliance with the things that they're required in the K-12 world to report to the district.
So as long as we're abiding by whatever contractual agreements between our two entities, we are the final word on how to run those schools.
That's a true statement. And in fact, the charter statute emphasizes the autonomy that the boards are supposed to have from the district. Kind of a strange world, you know, though on the one hand, the district is saying, march to our tune. On the other hand, the statutes are saying, whoa, 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 district, you can't pull the strings completely.
Okay, I don't want to beat this to death, but I know that the school board has taken charters back. Now, there had to be a legislative process in which that occurs, I presume.
Yes, there's a legislative.
The testing was off or I don't know what would be caused that to happen.
Financial issues are caused.
So they can audit our books and look at that sort of thing to see if we're financially viable.
We have to report to them.
We have to report.
On a regular reporting basis, and they're allowed to, you know, it's audit our country report to them.
Okay, thank you.
We do that with an audit every year with them, right? With the collegiate.
We do. We also, I think our contractually, we provide regular financial statements. Is that correct?
So we have almost all total autonomy unless we screw up and then we don't have a copy.
Well, as Steve said, most of the issues that I'm aware of where schools have been called back have been financial in nature.
Page 46. About 56, and this is a general. This is a report I assume that we have to file with somebody, we wouldn't have it. And I know that we set, I don't know anything for a fact, but I know that we vote on setting these goals for the different category as we have in front of us. But my question, my first question is, are these goals mandated by the state of Florida? Or is this just something we come up with ourselves based on prior enrollments, certain percentage of whatever class we're looking at?
Brian, you want?
We set the goals, but this year, and we've kind of gone over this in the past, they're looking for our goals actually right now for the year that just ended. And we already had the numbers back from the state of what the targets were. We just filled them in as the goal. It's that silly at this point.
It's always after the fact.
It's after the fact. So they're asking you to set.
They call it a goal, but it's more reporting a number.
Well, that brings more questions, I guess. I'm looking at this report and just this page, not going any further than these two pages, there's 20 different classifications I've called, of which only three we met our goals out of 20. If we're setting the goals and we got to file a report, why don't we set more reasonable goals?
I can address that as well. The totals add up to 100%. They still have to add up to 100%. So for example, you know, total males and total females, you'll see that the goals have to add up to 100%. So all we have to do is be wrong by 0.1%, and it'll say we didn't meet the goal.
I understand.
And so if we're right on the males, if we meet the goal on the males, we automatically don't meet the goal on the females, and vice versa.
But in some of these goals, they've changed dramatically. But
yeah, the actual numbers.
I don't want to get into public meeting here about some of those really serious changes, especially on our black males. I mean, 1 in 6%, we're going down to 2.9, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, I'm just suggesting if we're going to set goals ourselves, we ought to set more goals that we can have yeses to. But if we're being mandated by the state, then of course this goes away.
And last year when we set the goals, we had some rough idea of where we might come in. This year, the state actually gave us the numbers back. So the goals we set were based on the actual numbers we received. So this year we should have more, this coming year we should have more that are correct, unless they're off by some fraction of a percent one way or the other.
Can I insert just the context here? This is, I'm given to understand that we're going to have some legislators that are going to file a repealer for this, so that hopefully this won't exist in the future anymore, because it's not in line with the state goals and state priorities, education departments, legislatures, and governors. So hopefully this whole discussion goes away in the next 24 months and we don't have to deal with it.
That would be very nice.
Yes. So that's just context for our general discussion here.
Okay. So we haven't been called back by the state and said, you're not meeting your goals and you're getting in trouble or any of those kind of things.
No, nothing like that at all.
Okay.
It's not the first time that's been brought up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Those are my inputs on that.
Does anyone else have any discussions? Okay, well, I'll entertain a motion.
I move approval of the non-financial agenda.
Second.
I have a first and a second. We already had discussion. All in favor? Those opposed? Motion carries. Seeking to approve the financial consent agenda items. Are there any discussion items?
Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Exhibit O, I need to make a comment if I could. Just divulging to the full board here. In my role as chairman of Meals on Wheels, I was the person responsible for shutting down our in-house kitchen and converting everything over to buy it from Metz, which is obviously part of the contractual agreement on her exhibit O. I obviously met with them many times, worked out the deals, et cetera, et cetera. They're a fine company. It doesn't affect my voting in any way, but I'm publicly making a comment that I have dealt with Metz in the past in a very favorable way.
Yeah.
And I intend to vote.
Any further discussion? I'll entertain a motion. We have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? That motion carries. As normal, our package has page 142, which is our informational project list, just so you have it on a regular basis. And we're moving on to Mr. Wellman and facilities.
It's also an insurance claim. I just want to know, was that due to insurance claim being paid out or that the work was just completed?
Work is completed. We're still working with both the insurance carrier and FEMA to get finalized the payments. We're anticipating 100% pay.
It's taking a long time.
Yeah, it's like a long.
Okay, so I have got two items. One is the college-wide classroom AV upgrade. It's a contract approval, and then we've got several miscellaneous capital projects. I'm looking for project approval on those. Page 143, you're going to find my board memo on our college-wide classroom audio-video upgrades. And this is contract approval. This is a project that the board previously approved in the use of CM as the project delivery method. Design was completed. Willis Smith obtained competitive bids per Florida statute. The total cost of construction is $952,000. We are touching all three campuses with this upgrade. That $952,000 includes general conditions, subcontractor costs, overhead and profit, and we've reviewed those costs and have found them to be fair and reasonable. And the cost of construction is within the project budget of $1 million. I'm requesting board approval to contract with Willis Smith for the $952,000.
Thank you.
Make a motion to approve.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Those opposed? That motion carries.
Second item is page 144 is my board memo. So just a reminder, any capital project over $150,000 or greater require board approval. So I'm requesting approval of 5 projects totaling $1.9 million. And these projects are based on either condition assessments, programmatic needs, or within our capital improvement program. And we plan to utilize our continuing contracts with our architects and our CMs. So we got 5 projects, first one being the medical technology nursing student debriefing area on the second floor of medical technology building at Lakewood Ranch. We've got faculty office expansion in the CIT building at Lakewood Ranch. We've got a lighting upgrade project that addresses just aged lighting. That's in our Bradenton parking lot, all our sidewalk lighting on the Bradenton campus, and we have some really outdated Neil Auditorium lighting. We'll put a packet together. This will address a number of issues for us. We've got the Building 8 classroom upgrades, and finally, we've got college-wide parking lot striping on all three campuses. So looking for board approval of these 5 projects.
I just have, what's powered furniture?
I was thinking that same thing.
Well, those classrooms are, the students are using laptops, and it's the duration of the classroom, the laptops aren't holding power, so the power distribution out to Foster is energized.
That's not what I was thinking. Thank you.
Amazing chairs.
Excellent. I knew it.
Student engagement, I like that.
Using CM on these?
Yes.
Okay. Entertain a motion for the college to recommend the miscellaneous capital projects.
So moved.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
She's up already. I didn't have to tell her. We're all here for you tonight.
So last month, you very graciously approved our budget for 2023-24. We offered to bring back a couple of items for your review and approval, and that's what I'll share this evening. Noticing that the salary schedule and the operating budget were approved. First thing that we're going to seek your approval on this evening is the fee schedule. You also saw this in May. The fee schedule this year includes a number of course fees that are eliminated or reduced. Some of these courses were, the course was eliminated, or in some cases, the fee was eliminated, including these additional classes that are no longer necessarily being taught, or the price for the student has changed. We also added new course fees for some education programs. This is new to the college, and they have costs associated with classroom items that the students will be asked to pay. With that being said, fee schedule begins in your packet on page 145, and we are requesting approval for these fees.
I move approval.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion on the fee schedule? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Among us that we also approved the salary schedule last month, which included creating an increase pool for increases up to 5% and for some market adjustments and to maintain a small reserve, a recognition incentive package, and the 4-day work week for July 20th. And nothing's required, just. Well, this is a new item in the governor's budget. There was $3.85 million assigned to the State College of Florida to manage for the system for a state college CDL consortium. We're going to be the fiscal agent, pass through to other colleges. And while we'll not be treating it like a grant, we will be managing the money. So in order to do that, I'm requesting approval to manage these funds through the college's financial services budget process.
And question?
Yes.
So there's a cost to us for this, right? And resources for?
Yes, sir.
And that's, is that covered by the state?
No, sir.
Well, can we, Dr. Frisch, is it true? We, Fleet Force does rent property on our campus. And part of us getting this was an agreement with Fleet Force for arrangement related to rent that would allow us to recuperate a little bit of money for our costs.
Any chance we like break even on it?
Yeah.
Yep. Because we're doing multiple activities with them. They had requested administrative overhead and indirect, and it was eliminated this time. We plan to go back a second time, but we have other grants of similar nature doing the same activities and do have resources available there. So we believe we can repurpose some of those resources from a different grant to accomplish the same outcomes. It's all CDL related with Fleet Force, different sources of money.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
What does managed money mean to you? Are we in charge of investing it in something, or just writing checks?
Just writing checks.
The money just sits in a checking account.
We draw the money down from the state when it's time to pay it to the vendor. And so the amount of time that it's in our coffers is very limited. Even when it's in our coffers, we're part of the state's prime investment fund, and all of our finance, all of our cash goes through that. Just paying 5.25% right now.
Okay. Guess we want to do this, huh?
Is the goal to encourage more enrollment, thinking that the CDL drivers will also want to maybe come and finish their degree and something else?
Yes.
Always a hope.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get access to all that information.
We'll get them to change jobs.
We do, and we actually record them in our lifelong learning workforce development
division has students that have come through there, and then we promote those offerings to those students as well. So we've developed a mechanism to do that.
It's been a very complimentary business line for us to be in, where we are making money on the rental of underutilized assets right now.
And I guess the way I perceive this, rightly, is that, I mean, one of our broad purposes for existence is meeting workforce needs. And we saw a real shortage of truck drivers, basically.
Right.
And this does that, even if we don't quite break even, we're still actually meeting one of our primary purposes here.
Sounds good to me. You need a motion?
Yes, we entertain a motion to approve the managing of the funds for the CDL program.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. I think we had discussion, so all in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries.
Since we met last month, I want to share a little bit more budget information with you. This came from the statewide business officers meeting that I attended last month. Interestingly enough, you'll see in this chart that the number of FTE for the college system has decreased over time in the last 10 or 12 years. At the same time, the amount of money that the state puts in the program actually is more per individual student. So even though this doesn't show the money increasing on this slide, you'll see that in a minute. You will see that there's more per student. Now, you might want to keep this number in mind as we look at ourselves compared to that, which will be short. Another interesting fact is back in the day, we were about 50-50 students and state paying for the student education. And over time, with the trends we saw in the last chart, that's gone to about 70-30. An interesting change from the original 50. That being said, during that same period of time, our state appropriations only increased 12%. This is a chart you saw last month. As well, the State College of Florida remains below the curve on amount funded per institution within the state college system. Total funding for the state college compared to some of our local fellow schools puts us at 6,300 total funds. That includes recurring and non-recurring compared to these others at different funding levels.
How do they get that money? How do they get 68 and we only get 63?
Thank you, Mark.
Well, this is over time. Who has legislative influence? So, for example, Pasco Hernando and Polk in recent years had both the Senate president in there, and then those Senate presidents chose to put recurring money toward those institutions. When we had the Senate president, we had the unfortunate pleasure of also having COVID. And so our appropriation was vetoed. And so over time, these disparities happen. And so that's why we created the model to try and bring people back into alignment. But they chose not to fund that portion of the model in the way that helped those of us who are much further behind. So our advocacy effort in this next year will be, we need to take care of the colleges who are far behind to get caught up, because the disparity is just too much. The numbers, the 6,300 is not what we get per student. That's how many students we have. So you can see Polk, who has 300 fewer students than we do, gets $17 million more a year than we do. Yeah. And so the disparities are great. They're great.
And this, when we say total funding, total operating revenue funding, not capital.
Yep, recurring operating funds.
So like Pensacola, and these are still Pasco, and on all four of these, we are far more expensive location.
Yes.
For people to live in, which seems like that should be part of the formula. But our politics being what it is.
Well, you'll remember this when Senator Boyd is president in 2 years.
Well, you know, when you and I went to go speak to the senator last year, we talked to him about, we have a runway here. And we're hoping by the time he's Senate president that we have caught up and we're on par with those institutions like us in size. So we did make a small movement, not enough in this last year, but we have a long way to go.
Are we Remember to tell them how, when Representative President screamed out, they help fund their school.
Yep.
The last chart I have here shows you exactly what our 23-24 recurring is per estimated FTE compared to the others. So this is the truth that we're solving here.
Yeah.
And if you look at size and the system average, the median, we're $10 million below.
So I knew we were bad, but I had no idea visually it looked this bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what normally back in journalism days, we would have called corruption when it's this bad. You know, I realize politics is politics, but was that, did I say it right? That's twice as much per student that these were getting at a place that has a lower cost of living.
You might imagine why when Dr. Hale and I were recommending a funding model that was based 100% on outputs, there was a lot of kickback from these institutions.
Yeah,
because we're graduating more students than they are for half as much money.
So being careful thinking about going forward, that what might happen is we might not get more. They might all get a lot less.
We used to all say with one voice, we don't want to redistribute money. But I think those days are behind us. Now we're like, we don't care if you have to redistribute money. We have to close this gap because our students deserve better than 60 cents on the dollar.
Hope we share these slides with
every one of our local delegation. Yes.
Shake your head there. For my business.
Yeah, I mean, they understand the problem exists.
That's a big problem.
That's a huge problem.
Talking millions of dollars here.
I'm talking millions of dollars. Mark, we don't have a recurring nursing funding problem if we get this solved.
Non-recurring dollars includes the nursing enhancement Dr. Post was talking about, 1.8, also what's left of the last nursing enhancement, the contingency and equipment approved in the budget, and that GASB non-recurring transaction that we have to budget for. I do want to share, though, that one other additional piece of information is a note about our capital funds. For state statute last year, anything funded after 2019, we have to put 0.5% in escrow each year to maintain going. So that is also. Not asking for any additional approvals. I will say Dr. Hale provided the slides on comparisons with the other schools. And thanks to Trustee Carter for the financial audit entry meeting today. Let's see it.
Can we send the, do you want all of them or do you just want the your graphs?
The graph.
Yeah. Can we send the graphs that you just showed to everybody? Yeah. And we're part of the, what we're putting together right now for our advocacy effort for next year is a trip to Tallahassee in November for any of our trustees or foundation directors who'd like to join us. So we can go meet with the appropriate parties to share this information again. They will have all had it. They've had it. We'll show it again to them this summer when we meet with them. But to go up there and demonstrate that this is, that we're all in this. Our trustees, our foundation, everybody is here. We're also planning an additional time to take employees up there, staff up there in January, and then students in February. So we'll.
This November?
This November.
Do you have the date yet?
Week of November 14th. It's probably going to be that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Is that committee week?
Yes. It's a committee week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
November 14th.
Thank you, Julie. Do we have any old business? Any new business? How about board and comments? Amy?
Excited about how legislative session went and how our governor has given us money, and then Julie gave her report, and now I'm sad. I have a testimonial from a Coding Academy student. She came to the school from the Women's Resource Center, and I want to read this testimony to y'all. It says, I was in a difficult place in my life last year when I heard about the SCF Coding School from the WRC mailing list. I couldn't afford rent anymore. A long-term relationship had just ended badly, and I was slowly recovering from a massive stroke. The MS Power Platform program was just what I needed as a push to rebuild my life. Although I had experience in IT, it was decades out of date, but worse, my confidence was so low. I didn't feel like I could qualify for any job. Working through the SCF program gave me current skills and the confidence needed. I finished the certification, was able to find a temporary job last fall. I slowly built back my skills and confidence. This summer, I started working full-time for the first time in 20 years, able to support myself, pay for rent, food, and a little fun. SCA program gave me the push I needed to start digging my way back to a good life. I love this. I'm on the Women's Resource Center board too, so this is really close to my heart. But to see all the accomplishments and with your mission to moment mm-hmm. presentation, I just thought I'd like to share this with
thank
you.
Thank you.
I would just say that once again, when you look at our funding shortfalls and you look at what we accomplished as a college here, that's sort of a testament to the quality of the leadership team that is at this school that keeps making it happen and meeting the community needs, being, you know, kind of severely underfunded in a relative sense. So, well done.
Yeah, Taylor.
I'm excited about enrollment being up. I think it's a testament to also the fact of being in person. And I mean, Zoom, it can only go so far being in person. I think I'm hearing a lot of other state universities heading their orientations down to Zoom meetings, but that's such an important milestone, I think, for a lot of kids to be able to go to a physical in-person orientation. So I thank you for bringing all that back.
When are we going to tackle athletics?
We're actually already in the process. We had one meeting with Trustee Moore and a couple of the individuals who identified as being particularly interested in basketball. Two of the individuals didn't show up for the meeting. One chose to attend via Zoom at the last minute. But we did talk about strategies that are being implemented at other institutions. For example, housing at that particular institution is not provided at all. And if the coaches want to provide any kind of housing, they have to raise money for it. So there are different models being done across the state on how different institutions are finding ways to support athletics and or not. So we've been collecting some of that information to try and see what kind of a model might work for us. So we'll be meeting again mid-July to look at some of the things that Brittany and her team have pulled together and some recommendations.
This is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I would strongly suggest a workshop, something at the appropriate times. I don't know when you have to make final decisions about hiring coaches. If we go that route, I assume it's not going to be too far down the line. And this is a big decision for the board to make, I think. Personal opinion is that we've got to get the data together and sometimes have all we talk about is this issue.
Yeah, we're in the process of getting most of the data together. My personal opinion is we're not in a position to be talking about hiring coaches. We're looking at how we sustain the athletic program going forward. And given the resources that we believe we have, looking ahead.
Forward to that presentation.
Yeah, it's going to be some difficult decisions that need to be made, but it's in the interest of the 10,000 students versus the less than 1%. But yes, we're doing everything we can to get all the data together.
Trustees, I've been asked to give Mr. Fuller's report for the SCF Foundation in light of his absence. So Cassandra asked me to do it and then handed me 2.5 pages. So I'm going to try to cut it back a little bit, but I'm going to get through it for because I think it's important. As of 6/23, their budget for the fiscal year was 1.8 million. They're at $500,000 above budget, so 2.3 in actual, slightly behind last year's number, although she always sandbags and will make it up, I am sure, before the end of the year. So she does a great job for us. Interestingly, last month, if you remember, Mr. Fuller told us about a couple new directors. So, and that is always tough to actually get new directors on. But with the two that he told you about last month and the four I'm going to give you a little bit of a knowledge about tonight, that's 6 new directors for the foundation in the matter of a couple months, which is fantastic work from Cassandra and her team and probably the other board members to bring them on. So Atticus Frank, Atticus is a vice president with Mercer Capital and in Venice. Cindy McCollum, retired, moved to Florida and moved to Sarasota and is a neighbor here at the college as well in the Sarasota region. Jeff Phillips, I think a lot of people may know Jeff or at least his voice. He's a Manatee resident for many years and CFO at Gallagher and Hagopian at the law firm. I think a great opportunity to help in getting the word out for sure for the foundation. And Carol Whitmore, most people don't know who she is. Come and talk to me. I'll tell you who she is. but also, and I don't know that I hit all the graduates, but Jeff was a graduate of SCF and Carol was a graduate of MJC, a long time, obviously, Manatee resident. And I think a good voice as well for that foundation. So good names and solid people coming on to help carry the word forward and help raise money and awareness for the school. So great job, Cassandra, on building your board to a level that will be good for the future. And then a few dates, even though they're out, I'll at least give you the next one that's coming up. Annual scholarship luncheon, Wednesday, November 1st. So it's out a little bit of ways, but it's always a great event at Michael's on East. Theme this year, take your career to the next degree. So with that, all I have from a personal comment standpoint is when I see the numbers and know that we're $10 million behind the other schools, but also see the energy and love that your team and the senior team, and I think probably every one of the teachers that's there with the students at all ages, our students are amazing job from the educational side of what we do at all levels that we're doing it. So congratulations to the SCF staff.
Okay.
With that, I think we're adjourned.
Okay.